السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سورہ فاتحہ ایک ایسی سورت ہے جسے ہم ہر نماز میں پڑھتے ہیں.
Hazur says that Surah Fatiha is such a surah or chapter which we recite in every prayer, where in the hadith many names and blessings have been given to this chapter. There in one narration this surah has been called Surah As-Salah. Hadrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, has narrated that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that God Almighty states that I have divided Salah, in other words Surah Fatiha, between me and my servants into half and half parts. In other words, in one half of the Surah, God's attributes have been cited, and the next half of the chapter comprises of prayers for God's servants. Thus, this is the significance that every person who offers the prayer should always keep in view. Whilst on the one hand one reflects deeply upon the attributes of God, he should also make the maximum effort to derive benefit from them. Similarly, he should strive to derive beneficence from the prayers entailed within this chapter by reciting these prayers with great concentration in every rakat or unit of every prayer. It should also be remembered that surah has a deep relevance and association with this era, which is the era of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The ancient scriptures have also cited this with this reference. And even within the subject matter of Surah Fatiha itself, indicates towards the time of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, including the blessings and the attainment of the blessings, and also the evils and the means of safeguarding from the evil and misguidance. In this respect, this should hold vast importance for Muslims today. However, unfortunately, the Muslim ulama or the Muslim clergy have influenced the Muslims to such an extent and have rendered redundant their ability to think on their own to such a degree that the majority of Muslims are not even prepared to deliberate and reflect on this matter. Due to this, generally the majority of Muslims do not want to reflect upon this. However, with the grace of Almighty Allah, there is a denomination of people who do reflect, who do ponder and do realize the importance of the need of the Messiah and the Mahdi. In short, these people who are in the hands of the mullah are being led by these mulvis and these so-called ulama or religious scholars towards evil and misguidance. Therefore, every Muslim who has a heartfelt pain and passion acknowledges and considers that this is a period of vice, shirk, associating partners with God, and also misguidance, and that this is prevalent in all directions. And that in order to remove all these ailments, a special person of God is required. So, this realization is within them. And if it is so, then they should search for that person. That has that person perhaps already arrived? Most surely, that special person of God has arrived. But the majority, as I stated, are following the ulama, the Muslim clergy, and are not prepared to accept him, or out of fear, will not believe in him. The ulama, the Muslim clergy, and the Muslims at large, they should seek guidance from God the Almighty and should give up their obstinacy and stubbornness. In any case, our task is to convey the message, and inshallah, God willing, we will go on doing so. Alongside this, we Ahmadis, who associate ourselves with this true devotee of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, should strive to increase our perception and spiritual knowledge. We should make every effort to take maximum beneficence from the subject matter entailed within Surah Fatiha. In light of the way the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has elucidated this subject in various places of his writings, and has clearly expounded the subject matter entailed within, surely this places a responsibility upon us to try and comprehend this, to make efforts to perceive it, so that we can apply the subject matter entailed within on our own selves and seek its beneficence. At this time, in the words of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, I will present the commentary on the second verse of Surah Al-Fatiha after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has elucidated the various subjects inherent in this verse in different ways. I have collected just a few references. These are but a few aspects. By the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, from amongst the intellectual and spiritual treasure provided by him, and that he has indicated towards. Aside from this, there are countless numerous other references of the promised Messiah alayhi salam in relation to this chapter. Most surely, reading and listening to this increases one's spiritual knowledge and perception. However, just reading this once cannot take a person to the depths of the meaning entailed therein, and nor is this possible at all. In order to understand and comprehend this, one must study on his own as well. Then alone will we acquire the true knowledge and perception of the spiritual treasures provided by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and we will be able to derive benefit from it. Briefly explaining the verse, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, states, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to the rightfully worshipped being who combines in himself the aggregate of all perfect excellences. Hazur says, in other words, all praise, all glory is due and applicable only to God Almighty. All attributes are combined within God the Exalted, and it is Allah the Almighty alone in whom are found all attributes to their perfection, the promised Messiah on whom be peace continues, who combines in himself the sum total of all perfect excellences and whose name is Allah. We have stated before that in the language of the noble Quran, Allah is that perfect being who is rightfully adored, combining in himself all perfect attributes and is free from every defect. Hazur says, the sum total of all qualities and attributes are found within God, and God the Almighty is free and pure from all shortcomings, defects and flaws. The promised Messiah continues that God is one, without associate, and the source of all beneficence. For Allah, the Exalted, has in His holy word, the noble Quran, made His name Allah. And He has made His name Allah comprehensive of all His other names and attributes. Hazur says, that is to say, the name Allah possesses within it the attributes and qualities of all other names and attributes. So within this one name, Allah, is contained all other attributes and names of God, the promised Messiah on whom be peace continues. And God has not accorded that status to any other name, the promised Messiah on whom be peace continues. That because His name, Allah, is comprehensive of all His other names, the name Allah has primacy over all the other names of which it is comprehensive, since it is a sum total of all names and attributes. Therefore, it combines in itself all the perfect qualities. Hazur says, that is to say, this word and this name Allah possesses and gathers within it all other names and attributes to their perfection and comprehension. The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, the meaning of Alhamdulillah, or the summary of Alhamdulillah, then is that every type of praise, whether relating to external aspects, or whether relating to internal realities, whether relating to inherent excellences, or as manifested in natural phenomena, is due exclusively to Allah. No other shares in it. In addition, whatever true praise or perfect excellence the wisdom of the wise can imagine, Hazur says, that is to say, however much praise and glory can be bestowed on one, whatever extents of excellence and heights of it one can reach to, however much one can contemplate and ponder, all these attributes are found in Allah the Supreme. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, there is no excellence of which sane reason can contemplate the possibility of, but which Allah lacks like an unfortunate person. Hazur says, this is impossible. Any virtue or good quality a person envisages or contemplates, it is not possible that a person's intellect perceives that there is such and such good quality, but God Almighty be deprived of that. The promised Messiah on whom be peace continues, reason is not able to conceive of any excellence which is not comprehended among divine attributes. Hazur says that man's contemplation and thought process is limited. He cannot envisage or reach to those extents of the divine attributes. The promised Messiah continues, God has all excellences that one can imagine, and God is perfect in His being, in His attributes, and in His qualities in every respect, and He is totally free from every defect and shortcoming. Hazur says that this is why the Holy Prophet ﷺ has taught us this prayer, in which he prayed, that I seek the good of those attributes of God Almighty that I am aware of, and also I seek the good from those attributes of God Almighty that I have no knowledge of. Hazur says, in short, man cannot comprehend all the attributes of God Almighty. After this brief commentary on Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, writes about the meaning of the word Alhamd, And he writes that it should be evident that hamd is praise which is offered in appreciation of a commendable action of one worthy of praise. Further, it also means lauding one who has done a favor of his own volition. And according to his own choice, he bestows a favor upon another. Hazur says, he is praised who confers a favor upon another and who does so of his own volition and intention and in accordance with the will of Allah the Almighty, because it is always the will of Allah the Almighty that operates, and in accordance with that he bestows a favor upon another. The promised Messiah continues, the true reality of hamd is a due only of the being who is the source of all grace and light and from whom all beneficences sprout, and he exercises beneficence deliberately and not in ignorance or under compulsion. Hazur says, God Almighty knowingly, having full knowledge and comprehension, bestows his favor upon another, not out of obligation and not in ignorance. The promised Messiah continues that this meaning of hamd is found only in Allah, the all-knowing, the all-seeing. Indeed, he alone is a true benefactor, and from him proceed all benefits from the beginning to the end, and for him is all glorification and praise in this world and in the hereafter, and all hamd or all praise that is bestowed on others other than him reverts to him. Hazur says, in other words, when anyone else other than God is praised, that also is due to Allah himself. When anyone other than God is praised or glorified, that is due to the attributes of Allah the Almighty. It is due to those excellences, those good deeds that a person performs, embedding the reflection of Allah within him, or due to the Rahimiyat or Rahmaniyat, the mercy or the grace of Allah the Exalted. That has an effect and an impact on a person and allows him and enables him to be of some kind of help to another. And then in turn, that enables that person to be praised. In short, the foundation of everything of any person who carries any act out in the world is the God-given ability given to that person. Therefore, all praise eventually reverts back to God the Exalted. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says further regarding this, that hamd is the verbal praise which is offered to honor a mighty and noble being for his acts of beneficence. Perfect praise is the exclusive prerogative of the Lord of Majesty. The ultimate goal of every kind of praise or glorification, be it in a small or a large measure, is our Lord, who guides the misguided and exalts the lowly, who is the object of praise of all those who are praiseworthy. Hazur says, that is, all those who are praiseworthy are engaged in the praise of God. As I mentioned, everything reverts back to the Lord. The promised Messiah, in whom be peace, says, God guides the misguided. Hazur says that when the misguided are guided by God, he who is guided as a result will submit to God and praise him. In the eyes of the world, those who are disgraced and lowly are granted respect by Allah the Almighty, as is the way of the opponents of the Anbiya, the Prophets. They say, at a glance, we see your followers as disgraced and lowly persons, but God the Exalted at a time transforms their predicament, and those who are Pharaoh-like beg for their life. Those very chiefs of Makkah were begging for the peace of their life. In turn, this focuses the attention of a mu'min or a true believer towards real hamd and gives him the perception of it. Similarly, in the current times, people who believe that we are disgraced people, that Jamaat Ahmadiyya is insignificant and holds no value, that we are lowly people and claim that we will do such and such with you. God Almighty is alongside displaying the manifestation of His power, there will come a time when these people will finish. The summary of this is that in Hamd is indicated that perfect praise is due and belongs to God the Almighty, and He also gives perfect praise. And it is the Hamd, or the praise of God Almighty, that encompasses all excellences. It is a task of a mu'min or a true believer to seek insight of God's Hamd and come into His refuge. Further explaining the word Hamd and elucidating why Allah the Almighty started the Holy Quran with Hamd, He states that Allah commenced His book with the word Hamd rather than with the word Shukr or the word Madh, because the word Hamd encompasses the sense of the other two comprehensively and is their substitute par excellence. Further, it also entails correction, adornment, and beautification to a greater extent. As we said, this word also entails beautification and also reconciliation. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, continues, "Since the idolaters used to praise the idols without justification, preferring the use of the word Hamd, believing those idols to be the sources of favors and bounties, in addition, their mourning females vied with one another in boastful enumeration of the valorous deeds of their dead in battlefields." Hazur says, that is, those idols were proudly mentioned. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, both in the battlefields and at banquets, they praised those idols in the manner in which Allah, the bestower, the guardian, and the guarantor should be praised. Similarly, Alhamdulillah is the rebuttal of all who associate partners with Allah and furnishes an admonition for those who use their judgment. In these words, Allah reproaches the idol worshippers, the Jews, the Christians, and all those who associate partners with Allah the Exalted, as if He was saying, "O people who associate partners with gods, why do you glorify your associate gods? Why do you magnify your ancestors? Are they your lords who sustain you and your progeny and your children? Or are they the compassionate ones who treat you mercifully, who ward off your calamities, avert evil and affliction? Or are they those who safeguard the good that has been your lot, or who wash off the dirt of your sufferings and cure you of your diseases? Or are they the lords of the Day of Judgment? Nay, Allah alone sustains and shows mercy by granting happiness in full measure, and by the grant of means of guidance, and by answering prayers, and by deliverance from enemies." And He shall certainly reward those who work righteousness. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explaining the fact that our Lord is a perfect being, and that all attributes and all praise are found comprehensively and perfectly within God the Exalted. He states that in Alhamdulillah is also indicated. One who perishes for lack of his cognition of Allah the Supreme through his misconduct or by taking some other than Him as his God, in truth perishes because of his disregard of His excellences, his failure to contemplate His wonders, and his neglect of all that is due, as is the way of those who are the devotees of falsehood. Hazur says that such persons do not acquire insight into the being of God Almighty, and so are perished because they make others into their gods. Those who consider that certain persons possess the excellences of God the Exalted, or who do not fully perceive the glory of God Almighty, or it is concealed from them, or who place others on the same station as Allah the Almighty, will be perished. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, "Have you not considered that the Christians were invited to the unity of God? But it was this disease that brought about their ruin. Their erring selves and their beguiling passions drew them to the worship of a servant of Allah as their God. They drank deep of misguidance and ignorance, and forgetting the excellences of Allah the Supreme and His attributes, they invented for Him sons and daughters. Had they pondered the attributes of Allah the Supreme and the excellences that are worthy of Him, their insight would not have failed them, and they would not have perished." That is why Allah the Supreme has warned us here that to safeguard ourselves against error in respect of a true concept of Him, we must ponder His excellences fully and should seek out His appropriate attributes. As who says, in other words, His attributes should be discerned and true insight of them should be gained. And the promised Messiah continues that we should remind ourselves constantly of them, for they are far superior to every material gift and far more helpful than every kind of succor. We should reflect particularly over those attributes of His which have been manifested in His works, that is to say, His might, His power, His dominance and His bountifulness. Then be mindful of it and neglect it not. Be sure that all rububiyat or providence belongs to Allah, and all rahmaniyat or grace belongs to Allah, and all rahimiyat or mercy belongs to Allah, and all sovereignty belongs to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, O those who are being addressed, withhold not therefore your obedience from your sustainer, and be of those who submit themselves wholly to the one Lord. This verse also connotes that Allah the Supreme is far above suspicion of weakness or shortcoming, such as the assumption of a new attribute on the decline of another attribute, or a change in his state of dignity, or developing a defect, or any kind of renewal or rehabilitation. Hazur says, that is because there is no shortcoming possible in Allah the Almighty. It is not that He had some defect before which He rectified after. There can be no possible flaws in Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, "On the contrary, to Him belongs all worthiness of praise in the beginning and in the end, manifestly and covertly, forever and evermore. Whoever says aught contrary to this repudiates the truth and is a disbeliever." Hazur says, "Allah the Almighty is pure and free from all shortcomings. One who does not ascertain true discernment into the attributes of Allah the Almighty falls into the pit of destruction. Earlier people were destroyed because they did not recognize the divine attributes and fell into carrying out shirk, associating partners with God, or if they did recognize it initially, they forgot it after." The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, then elucidates the teaching provided to the Muslims. That their God is He to whom belongs all praise. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, in the wording Alhamdulillah, Muslims have been taught that when they are asked that who is your Lord, then every Muslim must necessarily say that my Lord is the one to whom all praise is due, and there is no excellence or power but that is found in Him in perfection. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then says, be not therefore of those who are apt to forget. Hazur says, that is, to just verbally profess Alhamdulillah is insufficient. Whenever you state Alhamd, immediately your thought should lead towards the fact that I have a God, I have a Lord who I worship. And I worship the God because He is my Allah, He is my Lord. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, then states in one place, this surah or chapter begins with Alhamdulillah, which means that all praise and all glorification belongs to that being named Allah. This chapter begins with the phrase Alhamdulillah because this is inspired by the purpose that the worship of Allah the Supreme must be characterized by the fervor of the soul and a strong inclination which is immersed by love and ardor which cannot well up unless it is established that the object of worship is a being possessing all perfect excellences that inspire the heart spontaneously with admiration. It is evident that comprehensive praise is inspired by two qualities. One, the perfection of beauty, and two, the perfection of beneficence. Hazur says, either one is praised due to their beauty, or one is praised due to their beneficence or the favor they confer to another. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues thus that if a being combines both these excellences, the heart melts and yearns for him with fervent devotion. The Holy Quran aims at impressing these two excellences of the Supreme Being upon the seekers of the truth, so that mankind may be drawn to that peerless and unique being and worship him with fervent devotion and yearning. That is why in the very opening chapter, this charming description has been set forth to demonstrate the wonderful excellences of the Divine Being to whom the Quran invites mankind. Thus, this surah begins with Alhamdulillah, which means all praise belongs to the being called Allah. Therefore, the being of Allah the Exalted is such which combine both beneficence and beauty. For this reason, this chapter begins with Alhamdulillah. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has explained in great detail what Allah's beauty actually means and what Allah's beneficence entails. But this is a subject in itself. I should just briefly explain it here. Allah's beauty entails that all excellences are found in Him, as has been explained already, that the sum total of all perfect attributes are possessed by God the Almighty. Regarding His beneficence, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has expounded four major principles. I will briefly relate these. The first beneficence of God is that He is Rabb, Lord. That is, He creates and then He takes those creatures to the highest point of the station of their creation, and in this way He sustains. His second beneficence is His quality of Rahmaniyat, of graciousness, by virtue of which He grants capacities to every living thing and makes arrangements for their survival according to their necessities. Among these, mankind has been given the largest share. His third beneficence is His quality of Rahimiyat, of mercifulness, through which He accepts prayers and also amal-e saliha, righteous deeds, and keeps one protected from calamities. His fourth beneficence is that He is Malikiyat Yawmiddin, the master of the Day of Judgment, by virtue of which He dispenses His grace and dispenses it as He pleases and as much as He pleases. He grants fruits to people's actions, but that is granted purely through Allah's grace. Therefore, these are the four beneficences expounded by the promised Messiah alayhi salam, which I have briefly related. Next, the promised Messiah on whom be peace writes that in the term Rabbul Alameen is the indication that God the Almighty brings about a period of guidance after a phase of misguidance. So he writes that God the Almighty in the word Rabbul Alameen indicates that He is a creator of everything, and all that is in the heavens and the earth are created by Him. Both the groups of the guided and also the people who are misguided, they are all included within Alameen. At times, the Alam or the realm of misguidance, disbelief, transgression and excess flourishes until the earth becomes full of injustice and tyranny, and people abandon the ways of Allah, the Lord of Majesty. Neither do they appreciate the true nature of the relationship subsisting between the Creator and His creatures, and nor do they render that which is due to Him as Provider and Sustainer. As it says, nor do they fulfill the rights of the due of the relationship between man and God, nor do they fulfill the due of God being Rab. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, the world becomes dark like the blackest night, and faith is pulverized under this affliction. Then Allah initiates another alam, or realm, and the earth is replaced with another earth. And a fresh decree descends from the heavens, and people are granted perceiving hearts and eloquent tongues to render thanks to Allah for His bounties. Hazur says, they are given tongues to speak. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, then they make themselves lowly like frequented paths before the Lord of greatness and run to Him in fear and hope. Their eyes downcast with modesty, and their faces turning wistfully to the provider of all needs with the resolve in submissiveness that knocks at the very top of the heights. Hazur says, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has mentioned here that God Almighty brings about a new alam or realm, and a new earth is formed from a previous earth. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was given a revelation which he received through a vision. He says, in a vision I see that I am creating a new heavens and earth, and then I say that come now, let us create humans. Hazur says, in any case, at that time the Maulvis raised a hue and cry that look, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has claimed to be God. But the promised Messiah alayhi salam responded that I am not claiming to be God. This actually means that God Almighty will create such a transformation through my hand that it would seem as if a new heavens and earth had formed. And such people would be produced who sincerely pray and worship God, and who fulfill the due of being servants of Allah the Almighty, and who recognize the aspects of servitude. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that their eyes are downcast with modesty, and their faces turning wistfully to the provider of all needs with a resolve in submissiveness that knocks at the very top of the heights. Hazur says, that is, a person discharges a due of servitude. To the maximum and highest degree possible, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, such people are needed most when the nadir of misguidance has reached, and through degradation of their condition, people turn into beasts and animals. It is at this moment that divine mercy and His eternal favor urge that a person be raised in heaven who should dispel darkness and demolish that which Satan has built and raised up. It is then that the gracious Lord sends an imam to fight the armies of Satan. Hazur says, as I stated, that the promised Messiah alayhi salam received a revelation through a vision. The promised Messiah continues, both these forces join battle. One is the army of the Rahman God, the gracious one, and one is the army of Satan. And only those perceive them who are gifted with two eyes. Hazur says, that means a person who looks with the eye of insight and discernment, and who truly discharges the right of servitude, and who can identify His providence. The promised Messiah continues, until falsehood is fettered and its mirage-like reasoning is obliterated. Therefore, that imam dominates the enemy and lends constant support to the rightly guided, raising aloft the banners of guidance, reviving the seasons and gatherings of piety. Hazur says, they spend greater time on speaking about piety and righteousness. There are such gatherings where God the Almighty is remembered, and people discuss worship, and the attributes of Allah the Almighty are discussed. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says further, until people come to realize that He has succeeded in capturing the ringleaders of disbelief, fastening hard their fetters, and has rounded up the beasts of falsehood, and has placed halters around their neck, and has destroyed the structures of innovation, dismantling their domes, and has consolidated the word of faith, and strengthened its organization, and has reinforced the dominion of heaven, and has closed every breach. Hazur says, thus today, the new heavens and earth that were created as a result of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, which we also derive benefit from. We need to give special attention towards the fact that we need to shun all harmful innovations. And we need to strengthen our faith. We need to discharge the due of servitude to God Almighty. We need to recognize His providence. Then alone can we derive beneficence from this new heavens and earth. Next, the promised Messiah on whom be peace elucidates. When a person truly recognizes his Rabb, his Lord, and he establishes the high standards of worship, he then ascertains the insight and discernment of Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds, that makes him distinguish from others. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says in this regard that Allah the Holiest has indicated in the words Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds, that He is the Khaliq, the creator of everything, and that all praises Him alone in the heavens and the earth, and that His praise is celebrated constantly by His servants, who are ever occupied with His remembrance. There is not a thing but that celebrates His praise and glorifies Him at all times. When one of His servants discards his own desires, is emptied of his passions, is wholly centered in Allah, His ways and His worship, and knows his Lord who nurtured him by His favor, and he glorifies Him all the time, and he loves Him with all his heart, in fact, even with all the particles of his body, does he love him. Then that person becomes an alim, a realm from amongst the alameen. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam is given examples of this and says, from amongst the alameen, the realms, is one alam, or realm, was in which the advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took place. Then he gave the example of his own era, that Allah the Almighty, displaying mercy upon His people, created another group, who were the group of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Therefore, when we associate ourselves with this group of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, in order to become a part of this Alameen, we should focus our preferences solely for the sake of Allah the Almighty, and we need to make efforts to this effect, so that we can derive beneficence from Rabbul Alameen, expounding what is included and also the definition and meaning of Alameen. The promised Messiah on whom be peace writes, Alameen means that with the exception of the Creator Himself, every existing thing, whether in the realm of spirits or in the realm of bodies, as who says, apart from God Himself, everything else is within the Alameen. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, whether of earthly creation or like the sun, the moon or other celestial objects, all of them being Alameen abiding under the providence of the Lord. Therefore, when everything is under the Rububiyat or the providence of Allah the Almighty, and when we are aware that God the Exalted nurtures and sustains all the realms or all the worlds, yet still, there comes times when a person considers other persons their gods or their rubs. Under the pressure of the society, materialism or worldliness becomes dominant. In such a predicament, a mu'min or a believer needs to immediately self-analyze, and he needs to make efforts to reflect on his own self. And whilst doing so, he should repent and seek forgiveness from God the Exalted, and turn towards Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds, so that we can take beneficence from this new earth that we are on and the new heavens which we are under. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explains how God the Almighty fulfills spiritual needs alongside material requirements, In light of Rabbul Alameen, he states, God is a Lord of the entire universe, as He has provided all the material means for the physical requirements of all kinds of creatures collectively, without discrimination. As He is the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds, and He has created the food grains, air, water, light and other things, so He has raised time and again reformers for every people to warn and to guide. As is stated in the Holy Quran, وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَزِيرٌ, that there has not been a people to whom a warner has not been sent. Hazrat says, if warners were continuously sent, then the warner was also sent in this time. Expounding the fact that Allah the Almighty's beneficence and grace is not limited to a particular nation, the promised Messiah in light of Rabbul Alameen says, God Almighty began the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Fatiha walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, which means that all holy and perfect attributes are exclusively possessed by God, who is the Lord of the universe. The word alameen covers all nations, all ages and all lands. This initial verse of the Holy Quran in actuality is a refutation of those who seek to confine the rububiyyah, the providence, and affairs or the grace of God to their own people, believing that other communities were not created by God, or that after creating them, God had rejected them, or He had forgotten them. Hazrat says that, God forbid, God had perhaps forgotten them, or that He had not even created them. So in the manner that the Rabbul Alameen caters for the material requirements of man, He also facilitates the spiritual well-being. He who rejects this is actually rejecting the attribute of Rububiyyah, the providence of Allah the Almighty. Thus, those persons who recite Surah Al-Fatiha and then reject the promised Messiah on whom be peace should reflect upon this. We also, after we have taken the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, as I said, we need to strive to advance in our taqwa and spirituality. The promised Messiah on whom be peace then states, there is yet another indication in the word hamd, and that is that Allah the Exalted and Lord of Blessings says, O my servants, know me through my attributes, and recognize me through my excellences. I certainly do not suffer from any defect or shortcoming. No, my praiseworthiness far exceeds the highest limits of praise rendered by those who praise me. You will not find in the heavens or in the earth any praiseworthy feature that is not to be found in my countenance. If you try to count my excellences, you would not be able to number them. Even if you exerted yourselves hard and took pains like one dedicated. Ponder thoroughly that if you can light upon a praiseworthy merit that you do not find in me, or can discover an excellence that is beyond me and my presence. If you feel that way, then you have no knowledge of recognition of me and are bereft of vision. Most certainly, Hazrat says, that is, God continues here to say that, most certainly I am known through my glories and excellences. Hazrat says, those attributes and qualities and excellences that are recognized and praised. So he continues that, I am known through my glories and excellences, and the heavy clouds saturated with my blessings indicate the plenitude of my bounties. Thus, those who believe in me as comprehending all perfect attributes and all excellences, and attribute to me whatever perfection they observe anywhere, and whatever glory they can conceive of in the highest flights of their imagination, and ascribe to me every grandeur that their minds and vision may observe, and every power that is reflected in the mirror of their thoughts. So, therefore, such are indeed the people who are treading the paths that lead to true recognition of me. They have grasped the truth, and they will be successful. So therefore, may God the Almighty keep watch over you, and seek earnestly for the attributes of Allah, the Glorious, and reflect over them like deep thinkers. Hazrat says, that is, carry out this work with deep reflection, deliberation, and perception. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, seek diligently and ponder every aspect of perfection, searching for it in every overt and covert manifestation of this universe. As a greedy person occupies himself incessantly with the pursuit of the object of his desires. Therefore, when you arrive at the comprehension of the fullness of his perfection and begin to perceive his fragrance, it is then that you have found him. This is a mystery that is unveiled only to those who are earnest seekers of guidance. This then is your Lord, your Master, perfect in himself, comprehending all perfect excellences and worthy of all praise. He alone can know him who deliberates deeply over Surah Fatiha, seeking his help with an aching heart. Those who make a covenant with Allah in perfect sincerity, binding themselves fast in perpetual obedience to him, and cleanse their minds of all rancor and ill will, are admitted through the portals of this surah or chapter, and are endowed with inner sight immediately. Azur says, as I stated earlier also, after taking the bet, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, this is a station that we should always endeavor to search for, and we need to reach this station. The ways to deliberate on Surah Al-Fatiha and the ways to reflect on the Holy Quran in totality can indeed be attained through the guiding principles alone of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. May Allah the Almighty enable us to attain the insight of divine attributes in accordance to the wishes of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, so that we may mold our lives in line with God's commandments. Today, after the Friday prayers, I will lead two funeral prayers in absentia. The first funeral is of Mukarrama Fatah Begum Sahiba. She is the wife of the late Mulana Ahmad Khan Naseem Sahib, who is the additional Nazir Islah Rashad in the Mukami Rabwa. Mukarram Ahmad Khan Naseem Sahib has passed away, but this is his wife, who passed away on 4th February. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was very pious, regular in offering the prayers, one who resembled taqwa and who was also devoted. She would regularly recite the Holy Quran. As I've stated, her husband Mulana Ahmad Khan Naseem Sahib was the additional Nazir Islah Rashad Mukami in Rabwa. This normally covered the villages or districts, or those areas which mostly comprise the villages. Because District Jang and Tergoda are near to Rabwa, Ahmadis often from there would come to Rabwa. And they would consider the house of Mulana Ahmad Khan Naseem Sahib as their own home. His son has written that at times, delegations consisting of 50 men and women would arrive and stay in their home. And Mulana Ahmad Khan Naseem Sahib would very graciously provide hospitality for them. They would come without notice, as you are aware in our society, especially people of the villages come without notice in this manner. He would provide their food and hospitality. He would never show any hint of complaint on his face when they came. Even after he passed away, because they had established a link with those people, they maintained that link and those people continued to stay in their house. This lady would take care of the poor people. She never took anything from her children, but she would always inculcate to them that give to poor people. Whatever income or money came into her possession, she would distribute amongst the poor people and the orphans. It is said that poor people would regularly come to her house. People would also come to her to share their griefs. The most significant quality she possessed was that she had an extremely sincere and devoted and loyal connection with Khilafat, and she always inculcated her children to be loyal to Khilafat and embedded love for Khilafat within them. She was also a Musia, may Allah the Almighty elevate her rank. She leaves behind 3 daughters and 2 sons, One of her sons was with her, and two of her sons were abroad. Mugaram Nasir Pervazi Sahib is one, and Naseem Mahdi Sahib is the other, who is a missionary of ours in the USA. Pervazi Sahib could not attend the funeral, and nor could Naseem Mahdi Sahib due to certain reasons. May Allah the Almighty grant all of them endurance and solace and patience. Naseem Mahdi Sahib is our Murabbi Silsila, that is our missionary. Certainly the prayers of his mother proved beneficial for him in the field. May Allah the Almighty enable him to continue benefiting from our prayers. The second funeral prayer is of Mukarrama Hakim Bibi Sahiba, who was the wife of Maulvi Ghulam Rasool Sahib Muallim Isla or Irshad, Pakistan. She passed away on 9th February at the age of approximately 100 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was also an extremely pious woman who was regular in offering prayers. Even in extreme financial adversity, she remained alongside her husband. She possessed a great degree of self-respect. Even in dire financial circumstances, she never asked for money. She would wear good and decent clothes, and she would try as much as possible to live off a small amount. For 28 years, she remained in Rasulnagar. And Markazi or central guests also used to come and stay there. Her house was used as a guest house, and she would provide hospitality to them with an open heart. In the disorder of 1974, there were only women left in the home as the men had gone away. She would spend the entire night sitting upon the balcony, using whatever weapon was available in the home, and then perform the work of guard duty. She also had a great passion for the honor and sanctity of the faith. Once some people schemed that outside her home was written Ahmadiyya Library on a banner or a board that this should be removed. There was also an extract of the promised Messiah alayhi salam upon this. So she replied that this will remain intact. We will not remove this out of fear of anyone. Similarly, she worked as Sadr Lajna and also the Secretary Lajna from 1947 to 1975. She would teach both Ahmadi and non-Ahmadi children the Holy Quran. She would especially inculcate to keep a strong link with the system of Khilafat. She leaves behind two daughters and three sons. One of her sons is our Waqf-e Zindagi life devotee, Mubarak Ahmed Zafar Sahib, who is an additional Vakeerul Mal here in London. The second is Mubashir Ahmed Zafar Sahib, who is also a Waqf-e Zindagi. He dedicated his life after his service. May Allah the Almighty grant solace, endurance and patience to all of them, and also elevate the rank of the deceased. As I stated, I will lead the funeral prayers in absentia after the Friday prayers.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ